teaches them about different things that people have said through the years. Teaches them how to give. Teaches them how to be humble with their other brothers. Teaches them some things about what to say and what not to say. That a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. But then, I want you to look at verse 46. Verse 46. I've entitled this message, Same Action, But Different Results. Same action, but different results. Oh, and by the way, I told Brother Kenny that I would promote this afternoon's message because he says that some of you get like this. When we have a potluck. But this afternoon's message is things will get better. Things will get better. So I hope you'll at least stay awake a little bit for that. I know. But this morning, the same action with different results. Verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like. It's like a man which built a house and digged deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not, it's like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently and immediately fell in the ruin of that house. Isn't great? Two individuals took the same action. They built each a house. But they had far different results. Father, again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for all the good things that you do for us. We know they come only from your bountiful hand. And Lord, this morning I pray that you'll please bless the reading of thy word. And Lord, that you will let it go forth with power and demonstration of the Spirit. And Lord, I ask that you please empty me of all of myself and that you'll replace that with the power of thy Spirit. There's one here this morning that's outside of your grace. They've never trusted you as Savior. That today would be the day that they'd be gloriously born again into the family of God. And we'll thank you for all that we see you do. In Jesus' name. And for the gospel's sake. Amen. Verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? My, what a scathing indictment to a child of God, isn't it? How come you call me Lord? Lord means that one who is over another. Lord, our Jesus, is Lord. And when we pray, we call him Lord. Oh, have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And then he comes and looks me eyeball to eyeball and says, how come you call me Lord, Lord? And yet you don't do the things that I say. This is a warning of Jesus that applies to people who say, Lord, Lord, and yet their spiritual life has nothing to do with their daily life. Go to church, maybe fulfill some type of religious duty, and yet they sin against God and man just like any other man. Someone once said, those that say, Lord, Lord, and do not the things that he says, are those that speak like angels and live like devils. They might have Jacob's smooth tongue, but they've got Esau's rough hand. But I want you to notice something carefully. Look in verse number 47. There are three conditions here. Whosoever cometh to me, that's one condition. And heareth my saying, it's another condition, and doeth them. And we're going to take a look at all three of those in just a moment. But first of all, let's look at the condition of the one that has strong foundation. Verse 46, he says, whosoever cometh to me. This is someone who gets saved, who's born of the Spirit of God, somebody who's heard the gospel, somebody who has heard about what Jesus did for them on the cross, shed his blood, sacrificed his life, was buried, and then 3 days later rose again. And that's the wonderful news of how Jesus sets the sinner free, how he can come to Christ by faith, how he can believe what he did for him on the cross. And it doesn't matter who it is. It says, whosoever. Did you see that in verse 46? Whosoever cometh unto me. That's excluding no one. I'm happy about that, Brother Kenny, aren't you? Because that might have left me and you out. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. And if he was the chief of sinners, I ran a close second to him. And I'm so thankful and so grateful for the blood of the cross, for the blood of Christ, and somebody sharing the gospel with me. Whosoever cometh unto me. Someone who gets saved and becomes a child of God, he's drawn by Almighty God. In John chapter 6 and verse 44, the Bible says, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. As it is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. So God draws all men. The Bible also says in John 12:32, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. God's will is that no one should perish. God's will is that all come to repentance. The Bible also says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, salvation never runs out, never runs dry. Great American evangelist, his name was D.L. Moody. Most of you would probably know the name at least when you hear it. He said he remembered being in a city where he noticed that people resorted to a favorite well in one of the parks. And he asked a man one day, he says, does the well ever run dry? The man was drinking water out of the well, and as he stopped drinking, he smacked his lips and said, they've never been able to pump it dry. They tried a few years ago, They put the fire engines to work and tried all they could to pump the well dry, but they found that there was a river flowing underneath the river. Thank God that salvation never runs dry. There's a river of life that's springing from the well of life, and His name is Jesus Christ. You're here this morning, you've never trusted Him. You've never come to Him by faith and been born again. Today, that river is available to you. Whosoever cometh unto me, I want to encourage you to come. You say, preacher, if I were to come and get saved, this church would laugh at me like... No, they wouldn't. You know what, this church would come up here around this altar and they'd grab you by the neck and they would hug you and be crying and be laughing at the same time, thanking God and praising Him for you coming to Christ, being born again. They would be rejoicing with you. However, I want to give you some sad news. God does draw all men, but He doesn't draw all men all the time. I am so thankful that Brother Kenny, when he kind of said, you need to back off, but he didn't say that actually, but I could tell. Went to work, and then a day or two later, God continued to deal with his heart. But sometimes, God says, I'm going to let you see for a little bit. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. If God is drawing you right now, if God is moving upon your heart with the Spirit, don't put Him off. Don't resist Him. Don't say no. You come. Today is the day of salvation. So number one, in verse number 46 and 47, the Bible says in verse 47, Luke chapter 6, whosoever cometh to me, that's someone who is saved. But then number two, look in verse number 47, and heareth my sayings. Heareth my sayings. This is someone who has been discipled a little bit in the Word of God. Someone that has come to Christ, yes. Someone who has been obedient to some things that he's heard. Someone who has received scriptural baptisms and baptism and has joined themselves to a scriptural Baptist church such as White River. They've heard some of the sayings of some of his disciples. Matthew 17:5 says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, it's one thing for me to stand up here and preach and give you my opinion. It's one thing for Brother Kennan to stand up here and just kind of tell you what he thinks. And it don't matter to a grain of salt. But when we stand up here and tell you, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Word of God, thus saith the Scripture, that's what really brings freedom. That's what brings life. That's what brings us closer to Christ, is hearing His sayings, not my sayings, not our sayings, His sayings. Someone who has been discipled. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's someone who has heard his saying. What have you read in the Bible this week? I could tell back there from the Sunday school that some of you have read quite a bit. What has God said to you this week in reading the scripture? It's impossible to rightly govern the world without the Bible. You know who said that? George Washington, our first president. And it holds true with the president that we have today. I wonder what he read from the Bible today. Within the covers of one single book, the Bible, are all the answers to all the problems that we face today, if only we would read and believe. You know who said that? Ronald Reagan. You see, some of our greatest presidents have understood the value of hearing his sayings. Now, was George Washington saved? I don't have a clue. I'll let you know when I get to heaven. Was Ronald Reagan saved? I have no clue whether he was or not. But I know that these two men, along with many of our framers of this great constitutional republic that we live in, understood and knew the value of hearing his sayings and listening to the Word of God. Somebody who comes to Christ, whosoever cometh unto me, gets saved, and then begins to hear some of the sayings, begins to be his disciple, begins to understand a few things from the Word of God. Then there's a third thing. Look at verse number 47. And do it then. Do it then. Now that's easy, isn't it? I got saved. Yeah, I come to church a lot, most of the time. I'm here sometimes. And then do them. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you can really tell whether or not somebody has heard some of the sayings that Jesus has given to them. And that's somebody who has not only gotten saved, been discipled a little bit, but now they're maturing in the Lord. They're doing some of the things that they've heard. They're now, I get it. Yeah. Brother Kenny's taught about church. He's taught about baptism. I get it. Okay. And then you submit to scriptural baptism. You do it. You do some of those things. And many other things. The real foundation of life is usually hidden, and it's only proven during a storm. I want you to see the rest of this. In chapter 6, verse 47, he says, "Whoso cometh unto me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom it's like." I'll show you who this guy looks like. Somebody that has gotten saved, been discipled a little bit, and now he's matured a little bit. I'll show you who he's like. It's all a bed of roses from here on out. No problems from here on. No, let's see. Verse 48. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Was founded upon a rock. You see, the less we read the Word of God, the less we desire to read it. The less we pray, the less we desire to pray. And sometimes storms of life are going to be inevitable and will come in the life of some of the most loyal Christians. A man was called by his doctor. And the doctor said, "I have bad news for you." The man said, "Well, what's the news?" "You have 24 hours to live. That's the bad news. But I have even worse news." He said, "What could be worse than that?" He said, "I've been trying to call you since yesterday." Some of you will get that after the lunch this afternoon. Storms that come. Storms often provide us a greater opportunity to serve the Lord, because we've been founded upon that rock of Christ. Our house has been built on a solid foundation, and when that storm comes, it sometimes offers a more opportunistic time for all of God's people to be a testimony of how God got them through the storm. Sometimes storms can promote our spiritual life with Christ, our maturity, which sometimes draws us closer to Him. Do you want to know how God draws many of us closer to Him? It's not through some victory, but it's usually through some suffering. It's usually through some storm of life. Because you see, Paul said he wanted to know the fellowship of his suffering. But if you've never been born again, and if you don't pay much attention to the Word of God, and if you're not doing anything that God has given you and instructed you through the Scriptures, then I'm going to tell you the storm in your life is going to be more than you can take sometimes. But storms sometimes prove our integrity to the Lord. There's a trait that I have always appreciated about Brother Hitch, and I think it's probably permeated through the church that he serves, and that's his integrity in Christ. Because you see, if I look out here, I know you've listened to the Word of God. Many of you have been here ever since the Idlemans came. His integrity in Christ, and it's passed down. And each generation is now going to live in Christ. And I'm going to tell you, your integrity in Christ means something to a lost world. if they look at you and say, if I were to say the name Ken Graham, how many of you would know who I meant? He's preached here before, I'm sure. You might have heard him tell this story. He had a church member that worked for Walmart there in Benton, Arkansas. And there was a Jewish woman who worked at the same Walmart. And one day, the Jewish woman asked this lady who was a member of Victory Baptist Church there in Benton, Arkansas, a spiritual question. And this woman said, "Hey, come here, Lynn," and just really befriended the lady. And she says, "You're Christian." She says, "Yes, I am Christian." She says, "There's something different about you. I know a lot of people who work in the store who say they're Christian, but they're not like you." She had some integrity in Christ. She understood what it meant to stand upon that rock, that solid foundation of the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and a storm of life would come and couldn't shake her faith. That Jewish woman came to church. And she was at the back, and Brother Graham was standing at the back, and she asked him, "I'm Jewish. Can I come in here?" He said, "Well, of course you can come in here." And that morning he preached, I think he said, from Isaiah. And she was shocked. She came up to him after the service and says, "You preach from our Jewish scripture?" He says, "Well, yes, I do." She says, "You think that's the same as your scripture?" He said, "Well, we believe all scripture is inspired of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament." She says, "Can I come back?" I don't know how many weeks later, a woman got saved. Not because Brother Graham preached from Isaiah. Not because he told her she could come. But because of one woman at Walmart that had some integrity in Christ. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the storm of life will build your integrity in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to another passage of Scripture with me, if you would, please. Keep your finger here, or put your ribbon there in Luke chapter 7. But I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And look with me to verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That's who that first man built his foundation on, wasn't it? "Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work is shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." What kind of integrity do you have in Christ? What do people see when you speak with them? And they don't really know you. And they've maybe never met you except for the first time. Can they tell that there's something different about you? Can they see Christ in you, the hope of glory? Notice what he says. "If any man build upon this foundation," verse 12, gold, silver, precious stones. All of those things that belong to Christ. It's God. You see, listen, now don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. You say, preacher, are you trying to say that I have to get my salvation by works? What I'm saying is that it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. And the gold and the silver and the precious stone all belongs to Him. So everything that we do, according to that parable that the Lord taught about the man building his house upon a rock and doeth them, gold, silver, and precious stone, all belong to the Lord. And are things that God gives you to do in Jesus' name. But then I want you to say something else. If any man, verse 14, we're in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. I like that, don't you? Anybody here never been rewarded for anything? Don't raise your hand. I'll talk to Brother Kenny. Maybe he'll give you something a little later. All of us like to be rewarded. Even if it's just saying, good job. Even if it was just going a little bit beyond the extra mile, so to speak. And someone says, good job. Every man's work. You see that? If any man abide which is built thereon, he shall receive a reward. That's good news. But here's bad news. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. I like that. Because you see, some of my work through the many years that I've been saved, unfortunately, has been wood, hay, and stubble. I have a little gold and precious stone. A little. Not much. But what work I have that was wood, hay, and stubble, all of that's going to be counted for nothing. To naught. And yet, Jesus said, I cannot deny myself. He'll be saved, and yet so is by fire. I thank God for His love in Christ and my eternal, everlasting life that I have in Christ. Because if it weren't for Him, I want to show you what the next result would be. Go back to Luke chapter 6. Go back to Luke chapter 6. And this is the event of the same action with different results. The same action with different results. Luke chapter 6. Look in verse number 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, And the ruin of that house is great. Mm-hmm. What ingredient was left out between the first man and the second man? Coming to Christ was the first ingredient. And then not doing the things that he said is the second ingredient. And that's guaranteed destruction. Guaranteed demolish of the house. The second man built a house, and yet he didn't come to Christ. He heard the word, but he didn't do anything to follow up on it. Let me ask you a question. If you were to pass from this life to the next, are you 100% certain today that you've been born again, that you've been saved by the grace of God? Because if you're not, and you might be one that says, well, if my good works outweigh my bad works, we'll just have to wait and see. No, you don't have to wait for anything. I can already tell you the result of that. You need to get saved. And if you pass from this life into the next before this day is over, I'm going to tell you, you'll wake up in the fires of hell shouting along with that rich man, please send somebody up there and tell my brother, tell my family, so they don't come into this horrible place. What about it? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, in verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then in verse 13 he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. If it hadn't been that simple, a simpleton like me would never have been able to understand it. God made it simple so I could understand it, so that you could understand how that he gave his life on the cross, how that he was buried, and 3 days rose from the dead in order to justify us before a holy God. Only Christ. It's just simple. Maybe you're here this morning not hearing the Lord clearly. I can relate to that. I started wearing hearing aids about 8 or 10 years ago. Why? Because I couldn't hear clearly. Maybe you just need to start hearing the word more so that you can do it better. Have a consistent prayer life. A consistent Bible reading. Now, how many of you do have trouble memorizing the Bible? Okay. I'm going to give you one. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Can you find that? I want you to memorize that. 1 Thessalonians. Now, she's clearly indicated she has trouble memorizing, and I do as well on some things. It's okay. Here, I can help you if you'd like. It's all right. She said, ooh, creepy, you licked your thumb and then go. Okay, verse 16. What is that?
Rejoice evermore.
Okay, look right up here. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Okay, I'm going to give you a second one. Okay, this is a little tougher. Verse 17.
Praying without ceasing.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:17.
Praying without ceasing.
Now say it with me.
1 Thessalonians 5:17.
I thought you had trouble memorizing. Listen. When he says, heareth my saying, if we'll get that into our mind, it'll help us to do this. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. The man that built his house on the earth with no foundation never even tries to memorize. Never even tries to do. You with me? You see how simple he made it so that I could understand? I'm here to tell you God loves you. And if you're without Christ this morning, he wants you to come to him. Stand with me, would you please? Sister, thank you so much. Stand with me. There might be someone here this morning